Once again, it is time for This Week in the Berkshire Edge. TheBerkshireEdge.com is where you'll find all the information, news, events, calendar events that come up for South County area and beyond. And we're joined by David and Marcy, and I make a very important note here that due to the fact that the town meeting in Great Barrington is taking place, we are recording this in advance. So that means what we talk about has happened. And of course, you can get all the updated information on the town meeting at theberkshireedge.com. So just a reminder that when we talk, what you hear today, which is pre-recorded, is going to be rebroadcast. Any information on the town meeting, theberkshireedge.com. With that being said, good morning, David. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning, Marshall.
Got all and it's been actually a couple of weeks since we talked, Marshall.
Yeah, I think we're going to get into more of a standardized things now, seeing as we're getting more into a standardized recovery process. So I think we can go from there without any
well,
problem.
We're glad to be back with you.
Yeah.
Yes.
So,
well, getting to the BerkshireEdge.com, one of the first things that you've got on your list there is your feature writer, Hannah Van Sickle. They've written a look at the student filmmakers which are producing films and really on some tough social issues.
Yeah, that's true.
This is a project, a joint project of the Berkshire Film and Media Collaborative and something called the Civic Life Project, which is giving kids in high schools the opportunity to make films about issues that are important to them that they might not be able to express or explore in any other way. So,
yeah, that's right. And she's written it's a very interesting profile of these kids. This project is taking place in Hudson, New York.
But
Hannah,
it's Berkshire people. I mean, it's the Berkshire
kids,
film.
Yeah.
And it's also Bard College at Simon's Rock is one of their filmmakers and, you know, I mean, and one of their faculty members. And then there's also an Ian Prawanti, who is a social activist, documentary filmmaker and media entrepreneur, and a woman named Jana Lays, who is an author and educator, who's worked with refugees and is an English as a second language teacher. So it's a pretty impressive group that's working with these kids.
Yeah.
What you'll find out is what we found out here. The Hoosonic Valley Regional High School had the Civic Life Project start up about 6 years ago. And it includes students from throughout the region. And they put together their documentaries are absolutely outstanding. And and the list of people participating in and doing it more than one time a year, it's going to grow. And these people will be doing this for a long, long time. And you'll be amazed what you end up, the end product that you'll see, you'll be amazed.
Well, there is a screening. By the time this broadcasts, unfortunately, it will have already taken place because there is a screening on Tuesday, May 2nd at Bard College, at Simon's Rock here in Great Barrington. You know, hopefully they will have another screening. This is going to be very interesting. I mean, there's a woman talking about, the kids are talking about all kinds of interesting. I mean,
and challenging topics.
Challenging. Yeah. I mean, there's one girl who's cutting hair. I mean, she just discovered that she likes to cut hair and she thinks she's going to do it as a career. But she just started cutting her friend's hair, and it helps her deal with, I mean, this, what she calls her side hustle, has helped her deal with social anxiety, connect with others, and build self-esteem. There are other people who are doing films on messy room, their messy room, and
They could come here
and somebody else, yes, right, they could come here. There's another one called Resettle. And a third one called the Bagel Shop. So these are people who say they're shy. And this is a form of expression and a personal exploration for them to make these little films.
And these little films don't come across like little films. I can't express it enough. One way or another, when you see them, you'll be absolutely amazed at the quality and the talent that went into these projects.
Right.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, you know, let's move along here and take to the skies again. With Bill Shine. Or not. He said, written part 7 of the series, taking a look at the historic and now controversial future of South County, and that is, of course, the Great Barrington Airport.
Yeah, Bill has written a 7-part series on this airport. And
I don't think it's the last. I mean, I think there are more coming.
Which is, I think this is going to end up being a novel, actually, when we put it all together.
Well, we're very excited to be able to do this. You know, this is, you know, we are providing really in-depth, you know, some people might say, you know, too much depth, but we are providing a very in-depth look at issues that are extremely important to our community. Bill's first series was about housing and the cost of housing and the lack of affordable housing in the Berkshires and beyond, and also, you know, ending up with some looks at other communities who have dealt with this issue and what they've done. He's been focusing, this is the 7th article on the airport, and the air, you know, and this is an extremely volatile issue for our community, because we have this airport that's been here since what, 1929, David, or 19? And it is outside of regular zoning, so it is in the middle of what has become since then a residential area.
And surrounded by very exclusive and litigious property owners.
Well, what's interesting about it, you just pointed it out, when this was first done, it was nothing but trees and ground out there.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And you
and
can't
farmland.
Yeah, farmland. So I mean, and I have to admit, I know the owners of the airport. Just to be quite up and honest, I'm friends with the owners of the airport. I learned how to fly, not there, but at the Kingston Ulster Airport. I did traffic reports, so I'm a big believer in a small community airport, because in Ulster County they were going to spend millions of dollars building an airport. Well, they found out that they could save those billions of dollars and get the same tax revenue out of the small little Kingston Ulster Airport that has been operating by the Kingston Rhinecliff Bridge for years. And I think that's what you have in that gem in Great Barrington, with the Great Barrington Airport.
It is a gem.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, well, you know, I mean, obviously we are not taking sides on this, and we live close to the airport and luckily have not been bothered as some people have been. But you know, there are many advantages to having this little airport in our little town. Not the least of which are the medical aspects, that there's the possibility of medical evacuation. Now, these are not jet planes that land here. They're all small private planes. There's no regular commercial service here, but there is a flight school. And this latest article, Bill talks a lot about the flight school and, you know, how it operates, and it's very interesting.
It's something we'll be talking about for a while, but I'll tell you, there's nothing like having a small town community tax-paying airport serving your area that helps police agencies, healthcare agencies, and individuals as well.
Right. It is.
All right, we're going to move on here. An activist group rallied to Park Square in Pittsfield for a better future for Western Massachusetts.
I guess that would include Northwestern Connecticut too, you know.
I don't think so.
Right. Well, this is a these are high school kids among them, and they rally. You know, Park Square in Pittsfield is a quite a community rallying and point where people who have a cause line up around Park Square and occupy Park Square too, and holding up signs, and it's quite a community bandstand, you might say, in the middle of Pittsfield.
Or Speaker's Corner. No, we'll not
Speaker's
call
Corner,
it.
right. But this was, anyways, go ahead, Marcy.
No,
Yeah.
go ahead, David.
No, this is it's a Western Mass for the future. It's the latest group who's used that Park Square for a rally. Anyways, they had multiple causes.
They did.
And
I mean, they're caught. They were rallying in support of lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, intersex, queer questioning. So this is LGBTQ plus rights.
plus gun control and climate action.
Right. So
So that it
all
was the
those three.
whole ball of wax.
And it was a very broad spectrum of ages. I mean, there were young people. I mean, it's exciting to see young people get involved. And also, I should say that right after the Pittsfield rally, a similar event was held at the Northampton City Hall. So this is not just local. I mean, it's not the same people, obviously. There was also a separate Northampton. But it was, it was the same thing. It was a rally for the future. So this may be spreading.
I read an article that my good friend Shaw has written, and I can't imagine anybody other than Shaw writing an article about the Dream Warrior Lodge.
Oh, yes.
Ah! I just can't. This is a great article.
Well, Shaw is our Shaw, Shaw Israel Isaacson is our managing editor. And he's doing a wonderful job. I mean, he is everywhere. I mean, and very engaged in the community. He's been with us now for less than a year, but he has certainly gotten around, and we're really very pleased.
Well, it's nice to see the Dream Warrior Lodge back, and it's one of those nice comforting things to see, and hope it rebounds like it was before.
Yeah, it's different ownership. I mean, it's been closed for 3 years.
Right. It is up in the hills of Beckett, and it's a very remote location, but for that, it's located on a beautiful grounds up there. And it's an historic place. They've had, not only is it a place to dine, but it also has had legendary performers, including Bob Dylan at one point.
In his early days, but
In his
Arlo
early
Guthrie has
days, that's right.
performed there, and
I
but
think.
anyway, it was closed. The Danny Osmond who bought it in 1997 and operated it for 23 years. He closed it in 2020, and then somebody wanted to buy it to do glamping, glamorous camping, and the community for some reason, I don't understand, because it's a quite remote location, was very opposed to it, and those people backed off, and now another group has bought it, and so far it is looking like the old Dream Away. I mean, they haven't changed the decor. I'm hoping that they've improved the food. And they plan to have music. I mean, they're starting a little bit slowly, but they plan by the summer to have a full music program and dining. I think they're open now Thursday through Sunday.
Right.
But it looks very much the same. And you can go from our program to both their website and their Facebook page to get more information. But the community is thrilled, and I think the people in Beckett who didn't want glamping and who wanted the dream away are now happy.
Yeah. All right. Now, last weekend, you also had an interesting story and part of a series on Broadway lyricists.
Yes. Should I talk about this,
David? Yep. Go ahead. Yeah.
Well, we have a wonderful bi-weekly series called Anyone for Tennyson. And it's written by a very interesting man who is a composer himself, named William
Bill
Perry.
Perry.
Yeah, Bill Perry, William Perry. And every other week he does a column for us on poets. And now he has done these three series on Give My Regards to Broadway, which is looking at Broadway lyricists, you know, Irving Berlin, Dorothy Field, Yip Harburg, I mean, you know, all of Kander and Ebb, Rodgers and Hammerstein, looking at the lyricists
Don't
and
forget
their
Lorenz
lyrics.
Hart.
Pardon?
Don't forget Lorenz Hart.
Lorenz Hart, exactly.
Right.
But you know, their lyrics really are poetry. And so he has, you know, and you will, if you read these, you will be singing along, I guarantee it. You can't read these lyrics without, you know, because they're all so familiar to us. You can't read them without singing. So it's been a real pleasure, you know, every Sunday morning to have these songs in my mind as I read his column.
All right. Well, I want to talk about Business Monday, because you've got the lineup set for that.
Right.
Go ahead, Marcy.
I'll do this because these are areas that I have focused on more than David. But, you know, we have a Business Monday section. We've been doing this. We've been, you know, trying to present interesting articles that have to do with what's happening in local business or that can inform local business in the Berkshires. And today we have a review of a new book. It's a short book, and he's virtually giving it away. But it's written by James Abruzzo, who writes a regular column for us called Careers in Motion. And he has written a new book about employment contracts for the heads of nonprofit organizations. Now, this may seem like a very dry subject, and the title is not catchy. But he points out that, you know, across the country, only about 20% of the CEOs of nonprofit organizations have any kind of an employment contract, which means that the boards of directors of nonprofit organizations have not really, you know, taken the time or put in the effort to clearly define the CEO's role. What their expectations of the CEO are, and to make this into the kind of professional job that you might find at a for-profit company.
Right.
So he has, and this is important for the Berkshires because, you know, I always feel that the business of the Berkshires is philanthropy. I mean, we have, you know, thousands of nonprofit organizations all doing really important work. But, you know, clearly, you know, about 80% of their CEOs do not have an employment contract and so don't have, you know, a clearly defined set of objectives and goals and roles. So we thought that, I mean, we thought that this is a very interesting book to bring to people's attention, and hope that it will be useful to all the nonprofit boards in the Berkshires and in Connecticut.
I wish there are many.
Many, many.
Right.
Many, many, many.
Before we wrap up, we mentioned at the beginning, of course, we're pre-recording this, so we haven't had any mention of the Great Barrington Town Board, the town meeting.
Yes.
But just in the last couple of moments here, even though it's in advance, both of you, David and Marcy, what's your anticipation for this meeting?
Well, there's going to be a big fight over short-term rentals. That's the big issue. We, do you want to go ahead, David?
No, go ahead, Marcy. Go ahead.
We, You know, the Great Barrington, there were short-term rental restrictions passed at last year's town meeting, and there are people who are now, you know, wanting to either modify or get rid of, mostly modify, those rules that were set up last year. So,
The
but they
restrictions,
were, pardon, David, go
there are
ahead.
restrictions, yeah.
They are restrictions. I mean, and the main restriction is that you are no longer allowed to buy a house for the sole purpose of turning it into a short-term rental property. Because, you know, there had been concern, and of course, you know, nobody knows how this is really affecting our housing market, but there were inexpensive houses that were being bought and turned into Airbnbs or, you know, VRBOs or whatever, short-term rental properties. The concern was that, first of all, we don't want neighborhoods in Great Barrington to be turned into hotels, because there's a concern that it may undermine the cohesion of a neighborhood. But also, it, you know, it makes it difficult for people of modest income to find houses because they're being snatched up, or rentals,
Yeah,
because.
they're, in other words, properties, residential properties, are being treated as commercial properties, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's the big fight. I mean, there are a few other little things, but that is really going to be the focus. And I'm sure, you know, Shaw will be right. Shaw is covering it for us, although David and I are going because we live in Great Barrington and we are, it's our town meeting. This is, you know, New England direct democracy. But we will have, you know, we will be turning out, and not only for this town meeting, but, you know, we'll be covering other town meetings. So this is town meeting season in the Berkshires, the beginning of May.
So, when you're listening to this, folks, want more information on it? Go to theberkshireedge.com, theberkshireedge.com, and you'll get all the latest information on that town meeting. Guys, great to speak to you again today.
Yeah, good to hear from you,
Good
Marshall.
to talk to you too,
Yeah.
Marsh. Be well.
Okay.